the issue. It's really not about us. It's not about what pleases us. It's not about what satisfies me. It's all about worshiping Him, the one who is worthy of worship. And I'm humbled that you have come this morning to worship God together with me. I hope that you're not here because I'm here. I hope that you're not here because somebody else is here. I hope you are genuinely here to hear God's Word, and then to take God's Word and apply it to your life, and then say, oh God, take what you're teaching me and grow me in you. Because that's worship. That's what God wants from us, is to worship Him by listening to His Word and then applying it to our lives. So I want you to open your Bibles up, if you would, to John chapter 13. We're going to be spending a time next few weeks in John chapter 13 through 16. And this is what's called the upper room. A little bit of background. For the last week or so in the life of Jesus and His disciples, they had been hanging out, lying low in Bethany and some of the surrounding cities, little towns around Jerusalem. Now they're getting ready to celebrate the Passover together. Jesus has come into Jerusalem, the triumphant entry. The palms were waved. Everybody's saying hallelujah, praise God, and praising Jesus as He rode in on the donkey. And now they're in the upper room and they're getting ready to celebrate the Last Supper together. Now, I don't want to spoil anything for you, but how many of you are familiar with the painting, The Last Supper? How many of you are familiar with that painting? Wipe that out of your mind. That did not happen that way. They all were not pale and having the long flowing locks, and Jesus wasn't sitting there with His fingers up like this. And they weren't. That has nothing to do with what the Last Supper even looked like. There wasn't a beautiful pastoral scene with stained glass and all that was. The upper room may have been as big as this stage right here, maybe. It was a low-lying table they were sitting at, about that tall, maybe a little bit shorter, maybe a little bit taller, but they would not sit like we normally sit. They reclined as they ate. And as they reclined, as they ate, they would take the grapes and they would drink and everything else, celebrating it together. That was the Last Supper. And it was darker. It was not a very lighted up room. It was dark. And they had a constant thought in their mind, what's going to happen next? It's because these 3 years Jesus had been teaching the disciples, and He had been trying to help them understand that He had to leave, that He had to go back to heaven, and they couldn't get that in their mind. They couldn't get that thought process in their mind because they expected Him to take over as a military leader. And so now as they're up here in the upper room and they're getting ready to celebrate the Passover together, they didn't know what the next days held. And the next few days that were going to take place in their lives would change them forever. So here we are in the upper room, here in John chapter number 13, verse number 1. We're going to start there. It says, now before the feast of the Passover, before the whole city was to celebrate the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. So it sets us up and helps us to understand that Passover was getting ready to be celebrated, but Jesus was going to leave. He was going to depart. Now, you would think that in that upper room, as they're all gathered together and they're celebrating the Passover, that they'd all be in agreement. They'd all be getting along and everything would be fantastic because they've been spending those 3 years together and they're doing all kinds of different things and having a great time. But that's not so. We're talking about 12 individual human beings. How many of you understand that when you're in the group of more than one person, there's always going to be a disagreement? Okay, everybody has a differing opinion. All right, there's an old saying, opinions are like armpits. We have two and they usually stink. The disciples were the same way. They were made out of flesh and blood just like we are. But I need to set the table and help you understand the background about what was going on in their minds as they came up into the upper room, okay? So we know that Jesus is there, and we know that Jesus is with his disciples, and we know that Jesus knows what's getting ready to come, but we need to set the mindset of the disciples. So hold your finger right here and go to Luke chapter 22 with me real quick. We're going to come right back to John, but go to Luke chapter number 22, just one book back. Luke chapter number 22, and this is central to what we want to talk about this morning. Luke chapter number 22, verse number 24. Now, with having a group of men together, and they're all wanting to be what God wants them to be, but they're wanting what they want. And so we get a little bit of a mindset understanding of where the disciples' minds were as the Passover was getting ready to take place. Verse 24, and it says this, "And there was also a strife among them," the disciples, "which of them should be accounted the greatest." And every time, every daily they would meet, they're always thinking in their mind, who's in control? Who's the one that's going to be the greatest in this group? Who's the one that's going to take the leadership role? And as they would gather together and as Jesus would teach them, I would imagine they're sitting there in their minds and they're listening to Jesus. It was always in their mind, well, maybe I could speak better than that. Is Jesus going to appoint me as the leader? Well, I'm the most robust, I'm the most intelligent, and I have this. And maybe as Jesus was teaching them, they were thinking in their minds, well, I'm greater than everybody else, so I should be the leader. And it says there was always a strife amongst them. There was James and John, brother over here, and then there was Peter over here, and then you had Judas and Bartholomew, and you had all the disciples and the different cliques and the different groups, and they're always fighting amongst each other. A matter of fact, James and John, their mom came to Jesus, and their mom came to Jesus and said, Jesus, when you enter into the kingdom, would you please let my sons have a power seat of leadership in your kingdom? Would you please allow them to have first place? Now, the other disciples heard her ask Jesus that, and they got upset. They began to fathom and understand, you know what, hey, a minute, this is not right. What right does she have to ask for her sons to be in the proper seats? What right have they got to be number one? What makes them right? So here we see the mindset, there was a strife amongst them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. They were fighting. Verse 25, and Jesus says unto them, the king of the Gentiles, they exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. He says, but you shall not be so. Don't be like them. He that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that does serve. For whether is greater, he that sits at meat or he that serves? Is not he that sits at meat? But I am among you as he that serves. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And I appointed unto you a kingdom as my Father has appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on the thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. He said, listen, you look at the Gentiles and you see that the Gentiles, they exercise lordship over everybody else. They have a pecking order. He says, listen, it's not that way in my kingdom. If you want to be great, you must serve. And then he looks at them and he says, listen, fellas, don't worry about who's in charge here on this earth. Because in my kingdom, you're all going to be equal. Let me help you out with this morning. Maybe this morning you're feeling like you're lesser. Maybe you don't feel like you're as important to God as everybody else is. May I tell you, the ground at Calvary is level. There is no great one here and a lesser one here. Jesus died for everybody. He loves all of us equally. There's none of us more important than anybody else. But the disciples wanted power. And Jesus is turning their life upside down, saying this, listen, if you want to be a leader, you got to be a servant. That's the mindset that the disciples had as they went to the upper room. They were fighting about who was going to be the leader. Well, I ought to be the leader because I'm good looking. Well, I ought to be the leader because I'm the best fisherman. Well, I ought to be the leader because I can speak well. Well, I ought to be the leader because I root for the right football team. I ought to be the leader because of this. And they had all kinds of reasons why they ought to be the leader. But Jesus says, listen, you want to be a leader? You got to be a servant first. Now go back to John. That's the mindset that they had in their minds. So Jesus sits with them at the Last Supper, the Passover. Verse number 2. They celebrate Passover together, and supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. So Satan had given the idea to Judas to go ahead and betray Jesus. Verse number 3. And Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he was come from God and he went to God, he rise from supper. He laid aside his garments and he took a towel and he girded himself. They had all celebrated the Passover together. They're talking amongst each other, and Judas has already got in his mind how he's going to betray Jesus. Jesus gets up, takes off his outer garments, and instead of wearing the garment of a rabbi, he takes the garments of a slave. He takes off his robe and he girds himself with the slave clothing. Now, slaves did not have rights. Slaves could not go out in public and be seen. Most of the time, they were inside the house slaves. And they would wrap themselves very simply because they were very menial tasks. Washing floors and doing all kinds of tasks that the owners didn't want them to do or didn't want to do themselves. So Jesus takes off his authority, physical authority. He gets down and strips down to a slave. And look what he does. And after he pours water into a basin, he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. He strips his robe off, makes himself a slave, and begins to wash his disciples' feet. Now you're thinking, wait a minute, Brother Brian, that's not so bad. How many of you have any stinky feet in here this morning? All right. How many of you are married to somebody with stinky feet? Nobody called, come on. Now, the problem with this is this. They didn't have closed-toed shoes like we have nowadays. They walked on streets that were dirt. And when it rained, it became quagmires. They walked on streets that animals walked on. And you know what animals do. And as the disciples were walking to the upper room, they were stepping in all of that everybody else was walking in. And it was proper that when you entered into a home, the master of the home would have a slave. And the slave would wash the visitors' feet off as they came into the room. So there was a slave that was designated to do that. Wash the feet so that they could come into the house and not drag the outside in. But the problem was, when they went up into the upper room, who was the slave? See, the disciples were fighting amongst themselves about who was going to be the leader. But Jesus had told them before they got to the upper room, you want to be the leader? You got to be a servant. And so as they came into the upper room, all they had in their mind is, I want to be the leader. I want to be the authority. Any one of them could have taken the role of a slave and washed everybody else's feet. It was open for them. They could have come in and washed people's feet as they came in. But that was not their mindset. Let me help you out with something this morning. And I don't mean to step on your toes or hurt your feelings. But some of you need to drop your stinking pride and start serving others. Husbands, well, bless God. God put me in control of the home. I'm in charge, and what I say goes, and I am not about to do anything for anybody else. Everybody serves me. That's not what Jesus did. The disciples were all about power and control. Jesus said, no, you need to be a servant first. And so when Jesus took his robe off and girded himself as a slave, his disciples were astonished. They're thinking, what's he doing? What's the rabbi doing? What's the Messiah doing? He's going to wash our feet. And as he poured that water in the basin, I imagine that some of them became very visibly upset, thinking to themselves, wait a minute, I should have been doing that. I should have been washing feet. What's he doing? And as he got down on his knees, I'm going to get up here so y'all can see me better. As he got down on his knees, now remember, they're all reclining at the table. And their feet are up. And so as he got down on his knees, he began to take the towel and he began to pour the water into the basin. He had to hold the feet. As he poured the water, all that gunk was rolling down onto his hands, off those people's feet. And he took the towel and he began to wipe them. And he poured more and he began to wipe them. All that stuff in between the toes. And he wiped them. And then he went up, poured the water out, got some more water, and he went to the next disciple. And he did this for each and every single one of them. Now, if I was a disciple, I'd have been ashamed. I'd have been sitting there thinking, wait a minute. I don't need to be, you need to be, I'd have been upset. But Jesus demonstrated what they should have been doing, but they weren't doing. How many of you agree that society nowadays, it's all about number one? Facebook posts. Oh, here's what I'm eating for dinner tonight. And if you don't get 200 likes, you're upset. Instagram post. Here's where we're going. And if you don't get enough likes, somehow your self-esteem disappears. Well, nobody looked at my post and nobody liked my post. And since when did life become about what's important to us? Brothers and sisters, narcissism is not a gift of the Spirit. Narcissism, what's that? Where you're number one. That's not a gift of the Spirit. So Jesus was washing their feet. He was showing them that it's not about them. It's about being a servant. He gets to Peter. And you know Peter, he's the one that always talks and always spouts off all the time without thinking. Verse number 6. Then comes he to Simon Peter. And Peter said unto him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? In other words, you're not going to wash my feet. Jesus told him, what I'm doing now you don't know, but you shall know hereafter. Peter, you don't understand what I'm doing now, but one day you will. How many of you know what Jesus was doing at this time? How many of you understand it? Jesus was showing them that it was not about them being number one. It was about them willing to be a servant. One of the hardest things that I had to learn was that it was not about my pleasure, but it was about doing something for everybody else instead. I've got another hour's worth of material to give to you. But I feel led to do this right now. I think some of us are battling pride in this very room right now, where it's all about what makes me happy, all about what pleases me in my marriage, all about what makes me happy in my home. My mom and dad exist to meet my needs. My brother and sister, it's all about them being lower than me. Maybe it's spouses fighting against each other. The husband thinks that he's number one and his wife ought to be his slave. The wife thinks, well, God bless you, but I'm not going to serve you because you're not worthy of being served. Maybe there's some pride issues going on right now. Maybe there's some of us who think that it's all about us and we ought to be served instead of being the servant. Here's what I want to do. Miss Kristen, if you'll come up to the piano for me. Jesus said, if you want to be a leader, you need to be a servant first. Well, bless God, Brother Brian, you don't know who I'm married to. I am not going to serve them. Because if I serve them, they're going to run all over me. They're going to take advantage of me, and they're going to do all kinds of things to me, and they're going to make me... Well, hold on a minute. Did you know that if you're serving, you're not serving that person, you're serving God. When you do what you do for Him, it doesn't matter what you're doing. You're serving Him, not that person. Well, Brother Brian, if I serve my parents, then they're going to think they're in control. Well, no, because you're being a servant like God's called you to be. I don't know exactly how to do this. I just feel the Holy Spirit's just really speaking to me about doing this. Here's what I want to do. I'm going to ask Miss Kristen, you just play anything that you want to play. I feel like we need to surrender this morning to service. I feel like some of us need to drop our hands and say, oh God, I need to be a servant. Forgive me of my pride. Forgive me for doing what I've been doing and it's wrong. Maybe husbands and wives, maybe you need to come up here together and say, you know what? Forgive me. Forgive me for not serving you. I need to outserve my wife. I need to be willing to do whatever she needs me to do to help her. Kids, maybe you need to get with your parents and come up and say, you know what, Mom and Dad, I'm sorry for making you be my slaves. I need to serve God by serving you. Friends, somebody, here's what I want to do. Let's all stand together, heads bowed, eyes closed. I believe we need to do this. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to ask you right now, Miss Kristen's playing, I'm going to ask you to come forward. I'm going to ask you to come forward and surrender to service. Serving God here in the church, serving God at your home, serving God at your place of work, serving God as He has called you to do. I'm going to ask you to come right now. Miss Kristen's playing. I'm going to ask you to come. Father, you know our hearts. You know the need. I know you've impressed it upon my heart to do this. If I'm the only one who responds, that's fine, because it's not about me. But I want to surrender to service, to serving you by serving others first. Forgive me for being prideful. Forgive me for demanding my way. Instead, I want to worship you by serving you. Now, Father, you do the work, please. I can't do it no more. In Christ's name I pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to invite you to come. Couples, come on. Families, come on. Individuals, come on. Just come and surrender. Just come and surrender. Come and surrender to service. Come on down. It's time for us to stop making it about us. Talk to God. Maybe you need to tell somebody, I'm sorry for being so prideful to you. Ask God, God help me to be a servant. I'm glad God is a God of second chances and third chances. He loves you. He's never stopped loving you. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Please be seated if you would. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Miss Kristen's going to keep playing. God is still working. Maybe He's showing you ways to serve. Maybe today when you go home for lunch. Maybe tomorrow at the office. Is your heart open to serving and putting somebody else before yourself today? Nothing happens by accident. Look this way if you would. I'm looking at a room full of people. Many of you serve in ways that nobody else knows about. Keep serving God that way. Don't stop. But I want to challenge you. Ask God to give you a servant's heart and be what God wants you to be. Please keep serving Him. Don't stop. I want to encourage you to do that. Last week we handed out this members in service survey. Some of you got them. Some of you didn't. Brother Jim, if you'll do me a favor, would you bring those? There's a stack of them on that table there for me. Or Brother Don, if you'll get that for me. Last week we handed these out. It's a survey of our church and what they're doing for the Lord here. And we're trying to get an understanding of where we can proceed and some areas that we need to staff and some areas that we need to stop doing or whatever we need to do. I need your help. And if you look over it, pray and say, God, what do you want me to do? Several of you have turned these in. Fantastic. I appreciate you doing that. Some of you have not done them yet. If you'll fill it out and put it in the basket back there or give it to myself or my wife or one of the deacons or the trustees or the ushers, give it to them so we can get an understanding of who's doing what so that we can formulate for our next year to know how to serve God better here at Victory Baptist Church. I appreciate your willingness to serve God in these areas, and thank you for doing that. And that'd be a big blessing if you wouldn't mind getting one of those. So Donnie, raise your hand back there. If you didn't get one, as you go out this morning, you can raise your hand now if you want to, or if you go out this morning, Brother Donnie, get them from Brother Donnie and pass them out, Brother Donnie, and give them back to him if you wouldn't mind, okay? So raise your hand if you didn't get one yet. Just raise your hand, kind of get an idea. All right, several of them, okay? All right, several of them there. Fantastic, okay? Number two, if you look at your bulletin, all right, you see the blessing box, you see the playground. There's also two weddings coming up. Two weddings coming up, all right? Jarrett, you and Shana, stand up for me. All right? Jarrett, tell us what day y'all are getting married. Some people will not be aware of it. August 3rd. August the 3rd, they're getting married, okay? I'm glad you remember that day. Stick that in mind, okay? August the 3rd, in your mind for the rest of your life, okay? All right? That should be your anniversary, so praise God for that. August 3rd, all right? Y'all can be seated. Where's Trevor and Amber? Or right down front, all right, stand up, turn around, let everybody look at you, ooh and ah, all right, tell everybody when y'all are getting married. October the 5th, they'll be getting married. Now, a special thing about them, they're getting married out near Asheville, or not, kind of sort of near Asheville, and they're inviting the church to come, but they understand and realize some of you can't come because it's a long trip and that kind of thing, but if you would please let them know by when, what day?
September
1st. If you're going to be able to be a come to the wedding, they want you to come, but they need to know by September the 1st so they can make proper planning, okay? And so if you're interested in going to the wedding and you want to do that, you can see them, let them know. You can see Miss Sandy or Donnie and let them know so they can get an accurate count of who's going to come because they've got a plan. They've got to make all them hot dogs, all right, for the dinner, all right? And so please let them know if you wouldn't mind that. All right, and then finally, you'll see Broyhill Children's Home, August the 1st. They'll be going to Broyhill to visit the children and have a meal. There's a sign-up sheet back there. If you'd sign up there, I would greatly appreciate it. And then homecoming is August the 11th. August the 11th is homecoming here at the church, okay? Am I forgetting anything, Tanner? Nothing? Okay, why don't you stand up and one thing you've got.
So one of the coolest things that we're starting in the community with the youth group is once a month we're going to the nursing homes. So this Wednesday we are taking our teenagers and anybody else who would like to go to the assisted living center in, right beside the Ingles at 6:30. So you're more than welcome to join us, but we're just going to go up there and be a part of that. And so starting this month, we're going to do that once a month with the teenagers. So if you'd like to come with us, just let me or my wife know.
Amen.
All right,
thank you,
Tammy. Tomorrow night at my house.
Yes, the women's fellowship. Well, what time, Miss Sandy?
6:00.
6:00 at Miss Sandy's. If you are a lady and you like the pool, all right, they're having a pool party at Miss Sandy's for all the women, so please go. It'll be a great time. If you need directions, see Miss Sandy or Donnie, and they'll be glad to tell you about that. Okay? Well, listen, am I forgetting anything else, darling? No? All right. The playground is coming along good.
We got a special offering for the playground. I'm not sure how much more we've got, but we're trying to finish paying it off. We've got all the chips out there. The border is coming. We're going to set up the border in this next week or so, and then spread the chips and get it ready for the kids to go play on. And we're enjoying that. So if you brought money and you're ready for, to give towards the special auction for the playground, right back there, Donnie's got the plates, and we need to do that this morning, okay? So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the day, for the blessings of life. Thank you, God, that you sent your Son Jesus to be a servant to us. I pray, God, that we would endeavor in our lives to be a servant, not only to you, but to others. Lord, now please bless our day. I pray you give strength and wisdom and guidance to all of us. And most importantly, may Jesus Christ be lifted high. In his precious name, I ask these things. Amen.